This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We begin a new teaching series today entitled Surprised by God. Do you feel small and meek? God can make us into bold warriors for Christ if we're willing to step out in faith for Him. Join us now as we are surprised by God's draft picks.
God is full of surprises. Stay with us and be surprised at God's draft pick today. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we praise you for your wisdom and strength, for your grace and steadfast love. As we examine your holy word today, through the power of your Holy Spirit, awaken in us once again awe and wonder at your mighty and wonderful ways. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." Gideon answered him, "But sir, if the Lord's with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of Midian." Then the Lord turned to Gideon and said, "Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. I hereby commission you." Gideon responded, "But sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them." Here ends our reading. I invite you to keep your Bibles open. We'll be coming back to this story. Dear friends, when you scan the biblical story, you can't help but conclude that life with God is full of surprises. God surprises. What oftentimes looks like disorder and foolishness to us is God's order and wisdom. In the book of Isaiah, for instance, he tells us, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways." And yet he calls us to follow him and trust him beyond the boundaries of our own wisdom and strength and character. In today's story about Gideon, we see that God makes some surprising draft picks when it comes to carrying out his purposes in this world. Recently, the NBA basketball folks held their annual draft. Each of the teams were looking for the biggest, fastest, strongest, and most gifted athletes they could recruit to make their teams winners in the future. Here in Minnesota, everyone was quite excited about the Timberwolves draft picks, Russell Towns and Tyus Jones. We figure that with Wiggins and those guys put together, we are going to have a real winning team, and we're excited about the future. When you think about it, everyone in the world typically looks for the best and most qualified when they're doing their drafting. For instance, in business, we're constantly on the lookout for the brightest and best. Schools, districts are looking for the most talented and gifted teachers. Law firms are looking for the top of the class from the law schools. Even in the church, we look for the best possible preacher and pastor we can find so that those pews might get filled. According to the Bible, though, such is not always the case with God. God picks the most surprising, unlikely characters to do his bidding. I don't know why, perhaps to teach us that the credit always belongs to God in the end. God has a long track record, though, of using the most ordinary and even less than adequate people to do some extraordinary things. Such is the case in today's story, as we see the calling of an unlikely leader, Gideon. The setting for this story is during the early years of the Israelites getting settled in the Promised Land. It was a frontier days type of setting. There was a certain behavior pattern, though, that continued to take place during those years that bothered God. Remember, before they got into the land, God told them that they were to worship no other gods but him. And they promised God that that's what they would do. But they kept breaking their promise. They could not seem to learn to trust in God alone to provide for them in this new land that they were farming. So they would sin and worship fertility gods called the Baals. And then God would allow enemies to come into the land and make life miserable for them, kind of a wake-up call. And they'd cry out for help from God, and God would respond graciously eventually and rescue them. Now, at the time of Gideon's call to leadership, which we looked at earlier in this service, the Midianites were the enemies that God wanted to drive out of the Promised Land. They were making life absolutely a nightmare for the people of Israel. Gideon was going to be God's answer to their desperate prayers for rescue. We find that even Gideon is surprised by God's selection of him. Look at that call. Gideon's out afraid for his life. He's sifting some grain in a wine press to bring back to the family. When suddenly he has someone near him who says to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." And Gideon cynically says, "The Lord? Why has he allowed this to happen to us? Where is he now? I keep hearing stories about all the old days when he helped, but he seems to have cast us off to these Midianites." Not exactly a good start for Gideon as far as his faith, wouldn't you say? And the Lord said to Gideon, "I am sending you, Gideon, to drive out the Midianites from your land." And Gideon says, "You've got to be kidding, Lord. I'm the weakest, smallest in my family, in a weak clan, in a small tribe. That's impossible." And the Lord said, "I commission you. And I will be with you, Gideon. I'll be with you." And Gideon says, "Well, okay. Then I need a sign to make sure this is the real thing." So he ran into the house and he brought out some food. And the Lord said, "Lay it upon a rock." And Gideon did as the Lord said. And the Lord touched the rock with his staff. And fire consumed the whole thing and destroyed the meal. And Gideon knew that he had been in the presence of God receiving a call. Well, God immediately goes to work with Gideon. He says, "First things first, tonight I want you to tear down the idols in your own backyard. These things are in the way of your allegiance to me. I want you to take one of your father's bulls and to tear down the Baal altar that he's put up in his front yard. And I want you to take that the wood and the Asherah pole from that altar and use it as firewood and sacrifice that bull on the altar to me." So Gideon did what the Lord called him to do. The next morning, when the community awoke, they found the Baal altar destroyed and the Lord's altar in place of it, and they wanted to destroy Gideon. Fortunately, Joash, Gideon's father, stood up to defend his son and said, "Why are you contending for the Baals? If they're so powerful, let them punish Gideon for what he's done." And the people backed off. Shortly afterwards, Scripture tells us that the Spirit of the Lord took hold of Gideon, and he took a trumpet, and he blew it all around the area, and he called the men that were living around him to come and fight with him against the Midianites. And they responded accordingly and came. Of course, as many characters in the Bible do, Gideon was still struggling with his faith. So he prayed to the Lord for some assurance. He said, "Lord, if I put out a fleece on the ground tonight, would you give me a sign if I use that? Just take that fleece and let it be filled with dew and the ground around it dry." And the Lord did exactly as Gideon asked. But Gideon came back a second time. He said, "Lord, I hate to push it, but could we do it again, except this time have the fleece stay dry and the ground wet?" And of course, the Lord did it. And Gideon knew that he was called for sure now to fight those Midianites. So he took the men that had come to him and began to prepare them for battle. The Lord came to Gideon and said, "Too many men. You've got 32,000 men there. When you go into battle, when you win, they're going to think that it was all their doing, and I won't get any of the credit. We've got to thin the ranks, Gideon." So he said, "You tell those men that have come, if there's anyone afraid amongst you to go into battle, go on home." So Gideon made the announcement, and 22,000 people left. That must have been a bit frightening for Gideon. And so he said, "Okay, Lord, I can use these 10,000. But the Lord said, "That's still too many. I want you to take him down to the river. We're going to conduct a little drinking test, how they drink from the river. I want you to divide him into two teams, those that lap the water like dogs and those who kneel down and drink from the stream." Well, there were 300 that lapped like dogs. God sent the rest home and said, "These are my guys." You could imagine the fear that Gideon had, 300 against this amazing, huge number of Midianites. And God said, "I know you're afraid, Gideon. I want you tonight to go down to the camp with your servant Parah. I've got something to show you." Gideon went down to the Midianite camp that night, and he overheard a conversation going on at a campfire amongst the soldiers. One of them said, "I had the weirdest dream last night. I dreamed that there was a huge, giant barley loaf rolling through our camp, and it ran into one of our tents, and the tent collapsed." One of the other soldiers said, "That's got to be a sign. Bad times for us. Gideon's going to win." Gideon, upon hearing this conversation, ran back to his men and said, "Now's the time. Let's go." And he had issued to each of the men a trumpet, a torch, and a jar to cover that lit torch. And they divided them into three companies. And Gideon said before they split up, "When I give the signal, blow my trumpet, I want you to break your jars, hold up those lit torches, and blow your trumpets, and then say, 'For the Lord and Gideon,' and let's see what happens." Notice there is not a sword on one of these soldiers in hand. So they divided up, and Gideon gave the signal, and the soldiers broke their jars and held up their torches and blew their trumpets and said, "For the Lord and for Gideon." And the Midianites awakened in the middle of the night were so panicked that they began to attack one another, thinking each other to be the enemy. And there were thousands upon thousands that were slaughtered that day, that evening. And the rest that were left scattered out into the wilderness. And the Midianites were defeated without Gideon and his soldiers lifting a hand to strike them with their own swords. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Gideon won. Or should we say the Lord won. And the people were delivered. And we learn and are reminded that God can work through ordinary people to get his things done. We shouldn't be so surprised if you're a follower of Jesus After all, we follow one who was born in a small common town called Bethlehem and laid in a manger, raised by a carpenter father and a young mother, who walked the dusty trails of Galilee and was considered to be somewhat of an oddity by the religious establishment, who eventually was crucified upon a cross like a criminal. But lo and behold, on that cross he conquered that which held us captive, sin and death, and the power of the evil one, the devil, and he rescued us. God uses, in his own economy, the most surprising resources to get his will done, doesn't he? I want to ask you today, what great thing do you suppose God is ready to accomplish with you? If you're an individual, maybe there's someone in your network, friends, family, that need someone to tell them about Christ, that they might have faith. Or perhaps there's a ministry you see that's needed in your community, some hurt that needs to be healed. And you might respond immediately, well, I'm too old for that. I'm too young, or I don't have the talents or skills or the network to get it done. God is with you. Yes, you can. Or maybe you're a church in a community that sees some hurts and some needs, and you say, well, we're too small. We don't have enough talent or income in our congregation to make much of a difference in our community. And God says to us in this story, yes, you can. I am with you. What it takes is to take the call seriously and ask yourself, is there something that burdens me that I'd like to do for God, a hurt that God has helped me to see, a person that he wants me to witness to? It takes a little faith that God can do something even with you. You're capable in God's hands, and then commit yourself to doing it. Gideon had to follow through, didn't he? And when Gideon stepped out in faith and took a risk, God used him to do great, great things. I'm reminded of a story that Daniel Meyer tells in his book, Witness Essentials, of an elderly woman who heard a sermon in which she felt God encouraging her to look for ways in which she could use her particular gifts and situation to minister to the needs of others. She thought about her gifts and realized that she'd been told by others that she had a real gift of hospitality. She lived alone in a small apartment near a large university and had her afternoons free. And she pondered the needs around her and the people who tugged at her heartstrings. To her mind came the students nearby who were so far away from home. It was then that an idea both strange and simple suddenly arose. She got a stack of 3x5 cards and wrote on each of the cards, "Are you homesick? Come to my house at 4 p.m. for tea." She included a phone number and address and then posted the cards all around the campus. After a slow start, homesick students began trickling into her house each week for tea. When she died 10 years later, 80 honorary pallbearers attended her funeral. Each one of them had been a student who, once upon a time, found a hot cup of tea, a sense of home, and the gospel of Jesus in the hospitable heart of this faithful servant. Amazing. God can use the ordinary to do extraordinary things to his glory. And he can use you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, use us like you used Gideon to accomplish your purposes in this world. Make us faith-filled and courageous and bold, so that the world around us may know that you are God and there is no other, and that Jesus is the Savior to be trusted for eternal life. So like Isaiah of old, we pray today, Lord, here am I, send me. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray you are able to answer with all certainty that if you were to die today, you would be in heaven with your Heavenly Father. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported radio ministry. In order for us to better know our listening audience, we invite your response to the program. If this program has touched your life in some way, please write or call us at Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You can also email us at cc@naz.org. That's cc@naz.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. And be sure to check out our website at christiancrusaders.org. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. CDs and printed copies of today's program are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.